Are you seeking fulfillment for your life? Do you want freedom from fear? That's why we're here. Welcome to Jesus 101, introducing you to the real Jesus. And now, here's your host, Elizabeth Talbot, with Chris James.
Hello, I'm Elizabeth Talbot.
And I'm Chris James.
And we continue with our very exciting series, Fear Not. And today we have Fear Not Overwhelming Tasks. Oof. Have you ever had an overwhelming task, Chris?
Well, you know, I come from like a line of worrywarts.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's kind of a generational passed down thing, a family trait. So, unfortunately...
That's your spiritual gift?
Yeah, it's my spiritual gift, unfortunately. Yeah, I wish I could say that I had everything together and that I always believe and always have faith. But yeah, I tend to worry and to get overwhelmed by things. And actually, for work a lot, I tend to do that at times.
I used to
run sound quite a bit and be in charge of AV setups for evangelistic series and things. And for larger ones, there can be a lot involved because you have to actually, you know, when you have an auditorium of 5,000 people, you actually have to rig everything and
hang
it from the
ceilings. Don't start with your technical words that nobody understands.
Not going to start from it, but you have to go for months in advance to prepare.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's all these little details, and we had lots of different artists coming in, and they have all their own little details that you have to follow and their little specifications. And so you have to make sure all that's right. And unfortunately, I believe in Murphy's Law, even though it's not biblical, that what can go wrong will go wrong. I tend to worry about those things and stuff you can't control. Well, we got to the venue and the truck didn't show up.
Oh.
And so we had all the employees there sitting around paying them.
And no truck.
So finally, 12 hours later, we had to work through the night and managed to get it done. But I worry about those things.
Yeah, you know, there's so many things. I think there's a false sense that we're in control of things because we are not, you know. And perhaps one of the wisest things I've ever learned after many years of going to self-help programs and other things that help me understand God better is that the outcome is not in my hand.
Right.
That I can plan all kinds of things.
All but, you want, lots.
Yeah, but that God eventually has the last word. Mm-hmm. And that has actually given me relief from feeling overwhelmed by the things that pile up. Because 1 week you look at your calendar and you have two books to write and, you know, 12 programs to record or whatever. And you're like, absolutely impossible.
Yeah.
And God says, yeah, you're absolutely right.
It's impossible.
And so when you say, okay, so that's what you meant. I'm going to walk on water, but you're going to make me do it because it's too big for me.
Yeah.
And so I think that's when we start trusting God with our overwhelming task and we're no longer feeling overwhelmed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, so we're going to study today one of the most amazing stories about overwhelming tasks. And it's in the book of...
A very big one.
A very big one, yes. It's in the book of Nehemiah. And sometimes people get confused with this book, like they do with Esther, because of the place where it's found in the Bible.
Right.
But this is a section of historical books. The actual date is at the end of the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're home and you can pick up your Bible, if not, you can do it later. We're going to go over the book of Nehemiah. So what was going on with Nehemiah, Chris?
He was he wasn't captured, but he was living in actually Babylon at the time because the Israelites had been captured and taken up to Babylon. And so, believe it or not, he was actually the cupbearer to the king.
Yeah, so in this case, even though they're in exile, he is working something close to Pharaoh and Joseph and
exactly.
all those things. So he actually has access to the king. We can put a pretty close date of 445 BC.
Yep.
And the king is very difficult for me to pronounce.
Artaxerxes.
Okay, listen to Chris. Can you say it again?
Artaxerxes.
Okay, there you go. That king he was working with. But Nehemiah was very sad because something was happening.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What was happening?
He had heard that, you know, he had asked his brothers and stuff back home. He said, hey, they come to visit him. He said, what's going on with the remnant? With the few Jews, you know, that are left
Jerusalem.
Back in Jerusalem?
Mm-hmm.
And they said, it's not good.
It's not good.
It's
looking
very,
terrible.
Very grim.
And Nehemiah is feeling that the name of the Lord is being, dishonored by this, that the walls are down.
Because back in that time, that was a big thing. If your city was in shambles and the walls were down, what did you have?
Because
because it looked like a heap of rubble.
Exactly. I was reading about that yesterday, how in the triumphal entry, Jesus at one point stopped and looked over Jerusalem, started weeping, saying, imagining what it could have been if they had accepted, but what it was going to be because they hadn't. And here we have this situation is in ruins. And and Nehemiah,
he sat down and wept.
He's weeping in
Nehemiah 1, verse 4, it says he sat down and wept for some days. I mourned and fasted, and what did he do? He prayed before God.
Yes, but he had not shown that side of himself to the king because, you know, the king was his job.
He was always happy, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Put on a smiley face when you show up to work.
But the king, I love that about you, Chris. I always smiley when I come to work, but every once in a while we talk about what's behind that, right? Now, chapter 2 says that it came about in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, which is what it gives us the date of 445 BC, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it to the king. And he had not been sad in his presence because he was trying to hide this from him. Mm-hmm. But the king realized something was wrong. Do you want to read verse 2?
Why does your face look so sad when you are not ill?
Yes. And so Nehemiah says, well, there is a big problem. You know, the place of my fathers, the tombs, they lie desolate and they don't have gates. And so all of a sudden, he gets an actual answer, a favorable answer.
Yeah, but notice first he says, I was very much afraid.
There you go.
That's the first thing he says. It's at the end there of chapter 2 in verse 3, actually. It says, I was very much afraid.
Yes.
But then he has a but.
Yes.
I love those buts after those ones.
Absolutely.
Those are good buts.
Absolutely.
He said, but I said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city where my fathers are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?
Exactly. So the king says, well, let's do something about it. And so he says, what do you want? And he says, well, if it pleases the king, send letters with me that I can pass through and that I have some kind of, you know, protection. Yeah. And the king does a lot more than that. Let's read verse 9 and 10 so we can segue to our next part.
Yeah, it says, so I went to the governors of Trans-Euphrates and gave them the king's letters. The kings had also sent my army officers and cavalry with me.
Yes. Now, when they get there, those other people, neighbors that were used to this rundown place, they see this whole thing coming, this army coming with an okay and a permission to rebuild. And there's this man that is going to, we're going to find here. His name is Sanballat.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to be very happy. And Tobiah is the second one that is not going to be happy. And all of a sudden, they become enemies. And this whole thing of...
Because they were the neighbors of the Israelites.
Yes.
And so they didn't want to see them get big again because they knew from before in history, when God was with Israel, they were in trouble.
Exactly.
If they were trying to go up against war against
them. So the rest of our time, we're going to spend it in chapter 4 because Nehemiah wants to start building the walls and building, you know, what he came to do. And all his neighbors start plotting against them. I mean, we have Arabs in the south, Ammonites in the eastern side, Ashdodites in the western, and Sanballat, that is the north, that is Samaria. And all of a sudden, this thing that he was so passionate about, that he was like, woohoo, we're going to rebuild. All of a sudden, he starts getting overwhelmed by the task.
All of them did.
Yes, all of them.
Yeah.
And so in chapter 4, it says that they started ridiculing what he was doing, you know. And let me tell our listeners, when you start getting a little bit of success from God in a calling or something, you can count on the fact that somebody will come along and say something like, are you kidding me?
And what I want to make a little bit of a point of actually is back in chapter 2, because when they first start mocking them, Sanballat says to him, he says, ha, 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 what is this that you are doing? What are you trying to do?
Yes.
Are you rebelling against the king?
Oh, that's great.
So he doesn't even know. Nehemiah didn't even show him the papers yet and say, hey, you know, I've got permission. He's actually supplying me everything.
Yes.
And see, that's the thing is people ridicule us and mock us when they don't realize that God
is the one
that's given us. In this case, it's the king, but it's God who's used it through the king
and given
him permission and said, this is what your calling is and I'm providing you with it. And when we have that calling from God, Yeah, it's ours. It's, even if anybody else is ridiculing and mocking us because they don't realize that we've actually been given it from God.
I love your passion about it because, you know, as a woman pastor, I have heard this so many times. And it's like, what? You are going to do this? And I'm like, you know, I have it from above.
Absolutely.
I have all the
calls. I've got the signed documents.
Exactly.
I've got the army with me.
But Nehemiah, you know, starts rebuilding and his work starts to be ridiculed.
Yeah.
And
will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life?
Yeah. Ha 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 ha. Right.
Yeah.
And so, verse 4 of chapter 4, hear, O our God, how we are despised, because they're starting to make fun of them. Return their reproach on their own. This is a prayer that he has.
Yeah.
But at one moment, discouragement does set in.
Yeah.
And this is why, you know, it's important to understand that life has all these overwhelming moments in which
like they hadn't done a lot, because they had done a lot in a short amount of time, because they said they rebuilt the wall till it was reached half its height.
Yes.
Halfway there.
Yes.
They're halfway there before all of a sudden it's like...
Yeah, but then exactly. See, discouragement is the number one weapon of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he can get you discouraged, if he can say, yes, but... And you believe it, that's it. And so they start praying because they realize that, I don't know if you want to read verse 10, it's a beautiful prayer of almost lament, we could say.
Yeah, they had found out that their enemies were actually going to be fighting them. They were wanting to come against them with swords.
Yep.
And so they said, meanwhile, the people in Judah said, the strength of the laborers is giving out. And there is so much rubble that we cannot rebuild the wall.
Yes. And
so much.
We can't.
Mm-hmm.
And our enemy said they will not know or see until we come among them, kill them and put a stop to the work. And in verse 14, I love this verse. When I saw their fear.
Yeah.
So they're really afraid. I rose and spoke to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, saying, and here we have our series.
Do not be afraid.
Don't be afraid of them. Remember that the Lord is great and is awesome. And fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, your houses. Don't lose perspective. It's so easy to lose perspective because we see the whole, you know, tree in front of us, but there's a whole forest.
Yeah.
And he says, don't be afraid, because this is not as overwhelming as it looks. God is on our side, you know, and this is the important thing. And after he organized and built the wall, they finished the wall in 52 days,
which is amazing.
So, but they had that moment in which they almost lost the faith, you know, and I'm sure there's some listeners today that you are at that point. It's a pivotal point where you've seen half of the wall and you're but people are making fun of you. You don't have any more strength.
That second half looks so big.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And read Nehemiah 6, 15 to 19 at home when they actually finished the wall, because God gave them, you know, faith, strength, weapons, the, you know, all of what they needed. You know, I have read one time something that I wrote here. I don't know if you want to read it. It's from Beth Moore. It's from Praying God's Word Day by Day on March 6th. And it says... you want to read it?
Sure. Sometimes I feel like there is so much rubble, I can't rebuild the wall. From Nehemiah 4:10. But your word claims that you are the repairer of broken walls and the restorer of streets with dwellings. From Isaiah 58:12. Please introduce yourself to me by these wonderful names and rebuild the rubble in my life. I confess to you that I am overwhelmed by the task ahead, but I am thankful that you have authority over all things. Heaven is your throne. Earth is your footstool. From Matthew 5:35.
And now we're going to read this last part together, because absolutely I love it. Let's read it together.
Therefore, anything over my head is under your feet.
If you can just remember that, anything over your head is under God's feet. Because, you know, it's his throne. He's sovereign. And so no task should be overwhelming when God is on your side.
Thank you for joining us today on Jesus 101. For more insights and resources, connect with us at Jesus101.tv. That's Jesus101.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Jesus101Institute and follow us on Twitter at Jesus101Media. Until next time, live free.